Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls. Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. Today, we have our last of our coaches' interviews. So if you didn't hear any of the previous episodes, feel free to go back and tune in. But today, I'm obviously here with women's health nurse practitioner, Lindsay Van Schoik. And we also have Jaleesa here today, and she is one of the coaches on our team. So we're super pumped to have you.
Yeah, she's our newest coach. She's our baby coach.
I'm the newbie, and I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I love it. So we'll just start out. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, how you kind of got into coaching. Just tell us kind of a little bit of your story.
Okay, yeah. We live in Canada, Alberta, Canada. It's cold 99% of the time.
And your husband's the master cold plunger. Like,
That's true. He's like, it's funny because like this is like the warm week of the year. No, I'm just kidding. But we're like in the warm season now, and his like bread and butter is like ice tubbing. And so he's been like stocking our freezer full of like blocks of ice to try and make the And he's like, he got, I don't know, one of those cold plunging companies is sponsoring him and like sending him a cold tub that stays cold all the time, but it's like it takes months and months to get here. So he's trying to be so creative.
Oh my gosh.
But anyways, yeah. So yeah, my husband and I, we own a gym here in Alberta. And so I also am a registered nurse. I just work casual now, but I've kind of transitioned from working full time as a nurse to coaching, I would say 99% of the time. I just work a couple shifts at the hospital now. So it's kind of funny. I remember when we opened the gym, I was just a little teeny tiny baby nurse and I didn't know what I was doing, but I just thought like, I remember having the conversation with him of like, hey, like you can do whatever you want and you can open this gym so long as I get like a full-time nursing position. Because in my head I was just like, I didn't know how it was going to go. And it was like all scary, like opening your first business. And then I got a job right away out of school. And so I was like, sure, you do you. And I never imagined it becoming a thing we did together. So over the years, I've just like really realized that I love the preventative side of health so much more than the putting band-aids on things after it feels like it's too late. I work med-surg in our hospital. So oftentimes when I see patients, they're either broken or really, really sick or, you know, in the later stages of life. And at the gym, we get to see people who are, you know, trying to make those changes before it feels like it's too late or before they end up in hospital. And so over the last, I guess, 10 years, next year is kind of just, we've really transitioned from away from me nursing to me coaching, both in the gym and nutrition. So that's kind of how it happened.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
How did you get your passion in nursing, coaching, stuff like that? I know you have a background that's similar to mine.
Yeah. So I always, like growing up, I always knew that like I wanted to do something. I thought I wanted to do something in the medical field. I thought for a long time I wanted to do pediatrics. Turns out I'm way too soft for that. I can't handle it. These are just, too much. And so, I just thought, okay, well, I'll start with nursing and see where it goes. We do live in a fairly small community, so there isn't like a ton of option in terms of nursing specialty or that kind of thing. And so I went through school and I knew that I just wanted to be at home. This is where Matt was. We had just gotten married like halfway through my school career. And so both of our families are here. So we knew that we would come back to Camrose and we would live here. And so it was just kind of like, see what I ended up with nursing, for a career or for a job. And then Yeah, in terms of the gym, like, okay, so a little bit more about my background in terms of health and nutrition. So Matt and I got engaged halfway through my nursing degree. And that was, I would say, like, okay, so I'll just tell the end of the story, but like, I developed a really severe eating disorder. And what we know now is like, there's never one thing that causes an eating disorder. It's usually mm-hmm. accumulation, a bunch of different factors. So what I know now is like, I definitely have genetic factors. I had a lot of environmental factors. A lot of my personality traits are very, I guess, addictive. And I err on the side of having a lot of perfectionistic tendencies. And stress was like, unbelievable in nursing school. And then we got engaged, and then it was like, oh, what is happening? You know, there's so much social pressure. And I think that was, this is going to like age me, but that was like in the beginning really of like Instagram and Facebook. And I remember like getting my first smartphone and being like, ooh, what is all of this? And so, yeah, when we got engaged, he was living in Saskatchewan. I was living in Edmonton. I didn't see him. I didn't have family with me. Didn't really have community. It was just like me and my books and stress. And now I had this idea that I had to look a certain way for our wedding. And I've always been like a really athletic, muscular looking person. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, well, that doesn't fit. Like, I don't look like any of these girls like they do on their wedding day. And so it just kind of started of like, I'm going to just exercise a little more and eat a little less. And this was like the first time in my entire life that I had even thought about like dieting or that I really needed to change something about me. Because up until then, like my goal was always just to be, I played soccer competitively. So it was always just like be the best athlete I could be. And my body type really lent well to that. It does not lend well to fitting into wedding dresses. So I was like, okay, we got to do something about this. And so, yeah, it was just a gradual but pretty noticeable change. Over the next year, I remember, like, Matt coming home to visit and, like, I remember him saying, like, I don't even recognize you, like, anymore. And so that became really challenging, and it really took hold of my life. We got married still, which I laugh about, and I say, like, if I was Matt, I probably would have pulled the plug on that one because I was crazy. But
yeah. I know.
How much did you lose? Yeah. Like, so at that point, how much had you lost?
So from, like, my healthiest baseline to how much I had lost, I think I lost 55 pounds.
Holy moly.
Yeah, oh, and goodness. I'm 5'4". I'm a small person.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say you look like
a teen. Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm quite, like, my, well, I'm pregnant right now, so I look a little different right now, but. Yeah.
I bet you would have looked so cute in a wedding dress because.
That was. I mean, if anyone knows anything about having an eating disorder, like, the numbers mean everything. And I remember, like, at my lowest, I remember thinking, like, you have two voices. One is like, this is awesome, I'm crushing it. And the other voice is like, holy smokes, this is terrifying because I don't know what's happening. So that went on for like years. The first 5 or 6 years of our marriage was like really challenging. I was extremely sick.
Man, props to him for like,
honestly,
I know how like distorted your mind is then. Like, you are not this rational.
No, and like, oh yeah, he deserves like honestly a trophy and everything else in the whole wide world. Cause like and I've said this and he hates when I say this, but like, I don't know if I would have stayed with me because I was not the person he married. I was not a good person. I was manipulative and, you know, we kind of like, now that we are where we're at, we've talked about it quite a bit. And he always says like, if it always felt like you were cheating on me with something else, cause it's this controls you and you become not who you were meant to be. And so that was really challenging. And in the midst of all that, get this, you guys, in the midst of all that, he's like, I'm going to open a gym. And I'm like, cool. Like, I'm on board because I'm like, I want to exercise as much as I possibly can. I'm like on board with this because to me, it feels like the greatest idea. And I'm not really sure, like, it's kind of funny to look back at now, but he played really high level hockey. His career ended with some pretty bad concussions, and he was just really missing like that competitive aspect in his life. He tried CrossFit and he was like, I'm gonna do this, we're doing this. And I was like, yep, cool, I'm on board. And so in my head, it was gonna be this thing that would just continue to like feed my addiction, and this thing where like, well, if we're gonna own this gym, like I gotta look a certain way, because if I'm gonna be a coach and a leader of this gym, then like people need to look up to me and how I look and what I can do and all this. And little did I know, CrossFit's a little bit different. And
yeah,
the whole atmosphere, like when I look back at it now, one of the main reasons that I was able to recover was because I was surrounded with such a community of strong women and women mm-hmm. who, like, looked up to people who are capable and who just wanted to, you know, see the best in everybody. And like, nobody cared how fast I could run or how much I weighed or how small I was. And it was more like, hey, like, let's lift heavy weights together. Mm-hmm. And I started to really love the sport of CrossFit, and it started to bring me back to like my competitive, strong personality that I, you know, grew up being. And so, yeah, like that was a really big part of, just my recovery. And then with every CrossFit gym, I think nutrition becomes a big factor in that, because people want to know how to live healthy. And, you know, despite not exactly having the healthiest relationship with food myself, I kind of took on the role of head nutrition coach at our gym. And because I had a background in nursing, I felt like I was the right person to, you know, just guide a lot of people in their health and their wellness journey. And just in my own education through that, it kind of, again, changed my perspective in what I wanted for myself. And I mean, there's a lot of factors that went into recovery, and it did not happen overnight.
No.
But I think just how our gym and that career path kind of took Matt and almost like forced me into it. It really transformed just the way that I looked at health and fitness and my own body. And so now, just recently I graduated, with, an eating disorder specialty in coaching. And so now, that's kind of my focus in terms of nutrition coaching. I like to
work with
women, who have, you know, maybe a bit of a distorted vision on what their bodies are meant to look like or what they're meant to be, and just kind of taking a more holistic look at their health in general. So, that's the short of it.
That's awesome. Did you have to seek like professional treatment at all, or do you feel like
the gym? So we tried, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, I know.
And that's actually like part of why I wanted to do my own specialty, because the process that we kind of went through, and like, even, I mean, I cannot honestly say I didn't give it like a real true try, because I was like one and done. Like, we went and saw this person, and it was an absolute disaster, and it made everything worse. And I was like, I'm out. Like, I can't. I don't want to do this. I don't want help.
I feel like that's the experience for a lot of people. So my first psychiatrist looked at me and was like, you don't look like you have an eating disorder.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
That is exactly the same. And like, Matt was like beside himself worried about me, because he knows me. He knows what I'm supposed to look like. He knows what I look like when I'm healthy. He knows how I act when I'm healthy. And he's like, there's something wrong with this girl. Someone's got to help her. And we go, and he's like, well, like, your BMI is normal. I'm like, see, I don't need to eat anything. And it just like spurred my fire even more. Mm-hmm. And he was upset, of course, because he's like, hold up, you're not listening. And so it was just, it wasn't a great experience. And so it's just now being where we're at and having the experience that we have had, and even as a couple and like making it through marriage, going through that, he was so supportive of being like, you need to help people, because like being the husband.
I think just, yeah, the whole medical world is just uneducated about it, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a patient that I work with that has an eating disorder, and her doctor's office knows, like, mm-hmm. she is to not be weighed, mm-hmm. right? Like, hide the number on the scale, turn it backwards, but they freaking printed it out on the paper that she left with, yeah. right? So, like, it's just, like, people are so uneducated about eating disorders and the thing that can trigger you. They don't think about, like, oh, my gosh, I need to make sure to not hand this paper to someone. Like, because the numbers are everything, like you said. If you're – if that – and that scale is not even your scale that you use at home. But if that scale says you're 5 pounds heavier, like, you're going to restrict.
And you have your clothes on because you're at your doctor's office. Yeah, and that's so wild to me, even that, you know, like, the psychiatrist – had that perspective on it, especially because it is a battle in your mind, and I feel like they, of all people, should be educated in that. So that's just mm-hmm. crazy that they took that approach.
Or you go to the first dietitian I went to, like, not trying to be negative about people's weight, but was like very overweight, not healthy. And I remember looking at my mom and being like, you want me to listen to her about nutrition advice?
Yeah, it's really challenging. And I think that it does, I think that in order to do a good job at it, you have to either have personal experience or have taken the time to, like, study it as a specialty, because it's not just like, oh, you want to be skinny. It's not just that, right? There's so much that goes into it. And I think that, you know, our professionals here, they want to help, but bless their hearts, they just don't got time for that. Like, our regular family doctors, they got so much to deal with, and, like, I don't put the blame on anybody.
No.
It's just like, listen, I want to do this, and I have the experience with this, and I've made it to the other side of this. Let me help. I want to help, and let's do this together, and, you know, let me lessen your load on all that. So, yeah, that's a big part of, I guess, what I do now. I also think that just, like, having a nursing background and obviously owning a gym too, I don't undervalue like helping people lose weight if that's what they truly need to be healthy with.
Right.
Like, I think they're, you know,
we've talked about this before, like, people that are overweight have an eating disorder too. It's just the opposite, right? Like, it's a not healthy relationship with food.
Yeah, totally. And a big reason why I love coaching with you is, like, ultimately the goal is health. It doesn't really matter how you're getting there, as long as, or what, you know, what end of the spectrum you're on, as long as at the end of the day, we have the same goal as, like, helping you be the healthiest version of you. That's it.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And it's, you're right. It's not the medical world's fault. We just don't have time. Like, I don't have time to sit with a patient in my office and spend an hour with them talking about nutrition and fitness and lifestyle changes. And even if I did, I can preach, like, there's so much information. If they really just wanted to know information, they could go on Google and Google it. It's this mental aspect of it that is what is so important. And I think that's why our program is so good, because we spend that time getting to the mental aspects and the emotional aspects of food and fitness and health, rather than just, like, here's some education, go do something with it.
Yeah. Or, like, here's your meal plan. Peace be with you.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. I think people come to you and come to us because they need someone to walk through it with them. I guarantee every person that comes to, like, Rejuvenating, they've tried something else before and it hasn't worked, right? They've tried a meal plan or a $30 plan off the internet that you print off or whatever, and they need the human aspect behind it to help them work through the mental aspects of it, not just being told what to eat. Because now I'd say the majority of people know what to eat. It's just how to get there.
Digging into your certificate that you just finished, mm-hmm. what does that allow you to do? Like, talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I took the Carolyn Costin Institute coaching. Yep. She's incredible. She, like, I don't know, but I feel like she, like, runs the world of eating disorder coaching. She's just amazing. It took me, I mean, you could do it faster, but it took me just over a year and a half to complete, and it's pretty in-depth. And so coaching in the eating disorder world is pretty new. I think in general is pretty new. And a lot of people don't really understand or know what that looks like. But I see it as kind of, you are like the middle ground between all of the professionals, I guess. But you actually get to do like day to day with the person. So my role essentially with my eating disorder clients is to walk through the day to day with them. So generally I will work with a client so long as they either have a family doctor like watching over their care, or a dietitian, right, or a psychologist, or all, yep, ideally all three. And then I kind of work side by side with those other professionals to make sure we're all on the same track. So let's say like a person is seeing a psychologist. Chances are they maybe talk to them once a month. They go through maybe, you know, the deep-rooted whys of why did this happen? How did we get here? Maybe there's some medication that you need to take. Maybe there's, you know, other trauma that has happened in your life that you need to go to. That's not my role. I don't diagnose. I don't deal with that. But I go through like, okay, now we know that. Now what does getting better look like? And how can I help you in the day-to-day with doing that? So whether that's like eating meals together, whether that's usually on Zoom or whatever, or checking in like, hey, did you eat your meals today? Why or why not? We do a lot of like practicing situations. So maybe they're going out for a dinner. Hey, let's practice. Let's go out for dinner together and then you go and do it and let me know how it goes. We do a lot of back and forth with like your healthy voice versus your eating disorder voice of like, what voice are you listening to? And we do, just a lot of that practice and visualization. Obviously we do a lot of like body image work. And then things like working through triggers. So, social media is a huge one.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time with, my girls right now, just being like, what are you looking at and where are you getting these ideas from? And how can we protect you from that? And, you know, how do we deal with that when you do see triggering things? So yeah, my goal and my role is just to kind of be the helping hand that walks through the journey with a person on more of a day-to-day basis. So I always like to think of it because when I went through it, that was Matt for me. And that was like detrimental to our marriage in the beginning because he then became my healthcare provider.
Food police.
Yes. Yeah. And right. Yeah. that should never be a family member's job. So no. My role is to, you know, be the bad guy when I need to be, be the encourager when I need to be, and just kind of also be that person that, you know, I've been through that. I've gone through all those things before, so we can talk about it honestly. And I also know when they're pulling my leg because I've been know those things.
You've done it. Done it.
Yeah, it's like the parent that's like, yeah, it's like the parent that's like, I've done this, so you don't have any tricks that you can pull on me.
Yeah.
But I think that's such an important role. So when I look back at my eating disorder treatment, like, yeah, my psychiatrist played, like, I remember who she was, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't remember those deep-rooted conversations with her. And I remember my therapist, like, I remember those people, but it was they called them resident assistants. Mm-hmm. That's who helped me get through my eating disorder because they were the one living the day to day with me. They were the one eating meals with me. They were the one when my pants didn't fit anymore that was going through that, or taking me out to eat, like you said, or taking me shopping when my clothes didn't fit anymore. Though, like, that is what you need, and that's what's missing for a lot of people is just that day-to-day support. And you're right. It can't be your husband or your mom or someone you live with because they become the enemy. Like, you don't want someone to make you change. And
I remember, like, when I kind of, like, I had to make the choice. Like, it was life or death. I had to choose recovery or not, and I wanted to live, thankfully. So it was, like, in that time, though, I felt like Matt was like, it was like he was forcing me, right? Even though he did it out of love. And there's so many feelings of like resentment in the beginning. And that should never be on a family member, let alone a husband or like whoever it might be. And like, I think that's a big thing too. Like, I'm so thankful for him because obviously we've been married 11 years now. And so we've gone through a lot, and that whole healing process has been like really amazing and good. But I don't think that it's not something I would want for everybody. And so I think just like you said, like I can be that person that you're angry at. I don't care. I can be that person that you're upset with who, you know, tells you you need to eat more. That's fine. Like, I'm going to still sleep at night because I know that I'm helping you get to that place of freedom. And that saves relationships, and that saves you from so much other heartache. And so, yeah, that essentially is my role as a coach. It really also just depends on like what a person needs, right? So,
And I think that's just our role as a coach with anyone. You could flip it to the other side. Okay. And how do we work with our clients that are overweight? Mm-hmm. We have them send us pictures of their food and we hold them accountable. Or when they're wanting to go eat ice cream or binge, then we're being a support system for them. And we're having tough conversations with them like, hey, you're not going to reach your goals and you're not going to be healthy if you continue to eat pizza every night. So it's like you can go either way. It's just a different, like, whether you're overweight or have an eating disorder, it's just that unhealthy relationship with food and your body. And we're holding you accountable either way. And that's what most people need when they're on a health journey. It's not about, like, there's so much information. Like, if you have an eating disorder, you know that you're supposed to eat. Just like if you are overweight, you know you're not supposed to eat the pizza. But those people have that internal dialogue going on in their head too. Like, oh, it's okay if I do this one more time. Or this is going to be the last time I restrict. This is going to be the last time I binge. But we know that if you don't have that support in place, like, it's not going to be the last time. It's not that easy.
Yeah, totally. And that's why, like, I really hope that the idea of coaching becomes more and more accepted, even in, like, the world of the professionals, right? Like, I don't know what it's like for you guys in the States, but I know here in Canada, like, the idea of coaching is kind of like, oh, like, are you just, like, an Instagram influencer who's decided to coach kind of thing? Where it's like, no, like, listen, like, this is my background. This is what I do. And, like, coaching can be so helpful because I don't know a doctor that has the time or the energy or the desire to text with their patient every day about how they're eating, right? And with a dietitian, like, I know that those professionals are extremely busy and their job is not necessarily to build that deep, deep relationship with their clients. Where I feel like that is our role as coaches, of like, we actually get to know our clients, spend that time with them, you know, provide whatever that is that they need, obviously within boundary. And it's just a different relationship.
And I think it's becoming better in the States. Now there's the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaching. So you can do a really intense program and get certified to be a health and wellness coach. And I know there are laws with insurance changing that insurance is going to start reimbursing coaches for that. So, like, I know I'm enrolled in a program for that, and it'll be something that, like, I highly encourage all of the coaches on Rejuvenating to do as well. Most of them have already been through some of that. Like, I know the PN level 2 now, that's like a program where you do that, where you actually have to go through training and education. And I went through the Wild Health program. So that's the program I went through. Yeah. But if you're looking for a coach, you're right. We're not just Instagram influencers. Like, you can't just go on Instagram and find someone to coach you on your macro. You can. It's everywhere, right? Yeah. But you really need to make sure that your coach is trained and has this training of how to do motivational interviewing with you and help you set boundaries and help you do goal setting and help you dig into the why you're doing the things that you're doing. And so coaching is hard. Like, it's hard. I know that I and you too have hard conversations with our clients, but it's so rewarding when you get those messages that are like, you changed my life, or I hear your voice in my head whenever I'm thinking about doing this. And it's that deep connection that you get with those people. I know I always tell my clients, you might not know it now, but we're going to be best friends.
Well, I know even like my newest client that I got, she's like, honestly, like, I just need someone to walk through this with me. And I was like, sign me up. I can do that.
I'm your girl.
You got this. And even today we were chatting about like her Friday wins, and she's like, it's been 1 week and like, great. And she's just like, I'm just happy to know, like, I know I'm on the right journey now. And like, I've got my team, and I'm like, listen, this is going to be great. Yeah. We got this.
And that's what I think it's about too. And just, I mean, you know, I've gone through it with, you know, getting coaches from online. But I would just say to people, the thing that makes it different and that you need to look that will set it apart is the health factor. I have not had one coach in my journey that has ever worried about my health. It was like the weight check-in, you know, and then your workouts. That was it. It was just how much you weigh, mm-hmm. and then they give you the workout plan, et cetera. But no, not a lot of coaches, I feel like, focus on the overall health aspect. And I think that's really what sets us apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just walking that journey with you. Like, mm-hmm. it's not an email check-in. Right. It's not a through your app, I'm going to see how you're doing. It's like the relationship is huge. And that's what really helps you heal from any type of trauma that you have with food and health and fitness and all that type of stuff. Like, that's what's mattered. So how, knowing your background, mm-hmm. how are you doing with the transition of pregnancy? Your body's changing a lot.
Yeah. That's a great question. So I would say better than I ever anticipated. That is good. Yeah, that is honestly my answer. Last week, I just finished writing for NEDA, which is the National Eating Disorder Association. Yep. Yeah. They asked me to write a blog about recovery and pregnancy, and I was like,
that is amazing.
Yeah. Cool. And so awesome. That was like the first time I actually like sat down and really thought about it, of like, yeah, how has this been?
And but that's good though, that like I feel like that's a good sign. Totally. That you
and I think that was just like a really healing opportunity for me, because it made me like really reflect on where I've come from. And I think a big thing for anyone who's been through an eating disorder and like has, you know, reached a point of recovery where you are ready maybe to start a family or even thinking about it, is like that little voice in your head of like, okay, but like, did you do too much damage? Like, is this even going to be possible for you? Mm-hmm. And so like, man, I have been married 11 years and this is the first time that we felt like, yep, we're in a good place. I'm healthy enough. I can handle whatever happens. We're ready. And like, man, like that was scary, being like, I'm not sure, like, I don't know. And so just like even being able to be pregnant just feels like such a gift. And I mean, I've been really careful to continue to be as healthy as I can be. And so I've stayed active. Like I've ate, I mean, as well as you can when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
That's a roller coaster. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I don't think like, I'm not a huge like chip person, but like for like probably the first time in my life, I was like, Matt, I gotta go to the store, we gotta buy chips.
That's so funny. The cravings are wild. And
like
sometimes.
For me, it was just like, I think that was like the moment of being like, man, like I am like so far from where I used to be. And it was like a moment of pride for me almost, of like, I can do this. And like, this is fine. And I'm not saying that I haven't had moments of like, ooh, like this is weird and my belly looks huge. And
well, yeah,
but everybody thinks that. And like, I'm really fortunate. My sister just had a baby a little while ago, or like just a year ago. So she just went through this. And like, she's kind of my person that I go to. And I said like, listen, Brianna, like, you know, I'm having not a good day and I feel really weird in my body. And in the beginning, she just gave me like the simplest advice. She's like, what if you just wake up every day and you decide like, I'm going to love this no matter what. And that was it for me. And I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. So every day has just been like such a gift. And I feel like just honestly, it's just such a blessing to be able to carry a human. And
I mean, a lot of people don't get to, and you're never going to, like, I look back on it now and I'm like, man, you're never going to get those kicks in your belly again or be able to like experience that.
And it's kind of funny too, because like, I think one of the really, I don't think this is right, but I think one of the big tactics when someone is going through an eating disorder that a lot of healthcare providers use of like, if you don't get better, you might not be able to have kids one day. Like, it's that whole threat thing. And at the time, I can assure you that anyone going through an eating disorder is not going to care at that moment.
No.
They're not going to care. That's future use problem. And I remember people, like, I remember thinking about that and being like, you know, like, this is more important to me than my future. And if we decide to have kids, like, whatever, I'll deal with it then. And I think about that now of just being like, man, I'm so thankful that I am able to, because even though in that moment I didn't care, had I not been able to now, like, that would have been devastating to me. And, like, that would have been just, I also would have felt so sad, like, even for Matt to have, like, taken that from him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome, though.
No, yeah.
But that's awesome, though. And it's just testimony of how far you've come, you know? And that's amazing, yeah. Truthfully. Because even people that haven't had eating disorders, whenever they get pregnant, it's a shock. Your body's basically not your own for 9 months, you know? So I can't imagine even coming from that and then pregnancy. I just think that's amazing. So you should be proud of yourself.
You're right, though. You don't care. Like, when you have an eating disorder, you don't care. Like, you don't even care about tomorrow. Nope. Like, I don't care what happens tomorrow. Right now, I care that I feel disgusting. And it's not even that you feel disgusting, because you can't feel disgusting. You can't feel fat. Fat is not a feeling. Right. I try to tell people that all the time. There's no feeling of fat. Something is going on. Are you anxious? Like, it's more of I feel anxious, not I feel fat. But you don't eat, like, you're not sensible in that point. And so you don't care if you're going to have, like, I remember going into treatment and then being like, you're going to have a heart attack. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't care. As long as I can get this food out of my stomach, it doesn't matter if I'm going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, Lindsay, we have to carry you up.
But I didn't care. Like, I would have, if I could have gone to the bathroom, I would have thrown up, because I did not care.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember thinking, like, whatever happens, like, at least I'll die skinny. Like, this will help. Yeah. This will be how people remember me. So good to go, whatever. Yeah. And like, it's incredible what happens to a person's mind. Cause like, I was never, like I said, I never dieted. I never thought about that. It was just like, what can happen when your mind is taken over by such a powerful disease is unbelievable. And then it's like, it's not even you anymore. And you know, it's not rational, but you don't care. And I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to explain that to my husband. There's so many things. Like, I remember being ashamed of some of the stuff that I did with my eating disorder. For me to even, like, say it out loud, I would never have done it until the last. I remember when I went through the Unlifted course, it was the first time that I ever said out loud that I had stolen during my eating disorder, because I was so shameful and embarrassed about it. But that's part of healing, right? Like, I think admitting that and admitting and knowing now that that wasn't me. But you're right. You're so distorted. I remember the first time I ever read Life Without Ed. Have you ever read that book?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this person is in my head. Yes. Like, this is exactly what my brain is doing constantly.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, everybody has their own experience, but I think there's some extremely common themes that probably we all have been there, where it's like, oh yeah, I remember that phase, or like, I remember thinking that. And it's just, it gets a hold of you, and it is just wild. And I wish it for nobody.
Yeah. And I think eating disorders are so much more common than we think. A lot of women have such disordered eating and they go undiagnosed. And it's really scary for me, being in the health and fitness space, seeing some of the influencers out there. If you have a disordered eating background, please, 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 if you're going to seek help from someone, make sure they know what they're doing. Because I've had seen so many women come to us where coaches have done so much harm to them by not knowing what they're doing. If you have an eating disorder history, you have to work with someone who knows what they're doing, or you're gonna, it's such a slippery slope.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because like, even this morning I had a girl come into my office for an in-body scan. So we have our fancy scanner that tells you all about everything that's going on in your body. And I just kind of asked her, like, I'd never met her before, and I asked her, like, what are you interested in? What's your purpose in wanting to do this? And she's like, well, I'm doing a program and I just want to see where my baseline is. And I just asked a few questions, and on our in-body scanner, it always tells you like what your basal metabolic rate is. So your resting calorie burn in a day. And her, I don't remember what it was like 1500 or something, but she is like 2 months postpartum.
Oh.
And like really active and has a toddler, so super active throughout the day. And I was just like, just out of curiosity, like, how many calories are you eating on this program that you're doing? And she was like, I think it's like 1,075. And like, my heart stopped. And I was like, wait, what? Like, do you mean 2,075? And she's like, no. And then I was like, okay, like, respectfully, I don't know what program this is, but I just need you to know, like, you have to eat more than that for your sake and your little kid's sake. Like, you, that's, and she's like, yeah, I tried it for one day and I didn't feel very good. I was like, oh, thank the Lord. Because, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And I think it's just like, I don't know.
But it's so common. Like, I even know, like I said before, from having, I have had multiple coaches in the past, my stats were just so low. And at the time, you were just thinking about your goal. So you're like, okay, well, I'm going to eat 20 fats in a day. But, like, it's just craziness and it's not healthy. But at the time, you're not thinking.
Which is exactly why I do not give people calories in rejuvenating. Yes. Unless you are like, there are no calorie games in this program.
Yeah.
So what would you say is your style of coaching?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I know what my greatest fault is as a coach, and I think this is because of my style of coaching. I think my greatest fault is, like, I'm a little bit too nice. And like,
no.
I have to, like, push myself to be like, okay, actually, that's actually a bad choice, or that's not a great choice. And that feels, like, hard for me because I just want to.
That's the story of my life.
And so I think my style is, I mean, I don't know, but just, I know that I'm very encouraging. I know that, like, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader, even if you're not doing a good job, which is something that I am very aware of and I need to work on. But yeah, I just.
But you're compassionate.
I want people to feel successful and I want them to be just, I just know that, like, not a lot of people have an encourager in their life or someone who's, like, in their corner all the time. And I just always want to be that person for someone. I think that's what makes me a good coach. It's also what makes me sometimes not a great coach, but I'm aware of it. I'm working on it.
I know what you mean. It's hard though. It's hard.
And I think that's, but that too is, like, what makes our team so good is we all have different strengths and weaknesses. So you might be afraid to say something to someone, but if they get on, like, a group coaching call and it's like me or Lindsay, me or Lakin, they're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
I always joke that Lindsay and I are, like, good cop, bad cop, because I'm always like, trying to,
it's funny.
It's funny
because I, like, check in with my clients every morning, and I'm also always way behind in time zone as my clients. And so by the time it's, like, middle of the morning, my clients are already eating lunch. And so this morning, my one client sent me a picture of her lunch, and there wasn't any vegetables. And she's like, I know, no veggies. And I was like, okay, Jaleesa, you have to do it. You have to tell her that's. This isn't what we talked about. And so I was like, we have a check-in meeting this afternoon. And so I was like, you're going to get a stern talking to this afternoon. But then I have, like, 75, like, winking emojis. And it's like, this is me trying really
hard. You're going to learn today, red heart, smiley face.
Just me tell me talk. Winky wink.
Yeah.
So, I'm working on it.
I love it.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
that's good.
But... Well, should I ask my final question, or do you have any more?
No, I'm going to do it in the right order this time. Yeah, I always mess this up.
Oh, yeah, we always
mess up. So if you had one piece of advice, wisdom, just anything that – any or just something that you wanted to say, what would you say to our audience that's listening?
I think – so, like, my personal branding coach or coaching or whatever, or for eating disorder coaches, like, and I think this applies to both ends of the spectrum, is you deserve a life of freedom. And that I love that, because I've been on both ends. Like, I've lived the life of feeling stuck and isolated and, like, nothing is ever going to be better. And now I live this life that I feel so free and so blessed and so full of energy and, well, actually not full of energy right now, but...
Well, you're like 9 months, yeah. Well,
you're growing a human at the end.
The majority of the time, I have a lot of energy. And so it's like, I want freedom for everybody in terms of, their health. And whatever that looks like, that can just mean, freedom to do what you want to do in a career, freedom to, do a pull-up or lift a weight or whatever. You deserve a life of freedom.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so here's my final question that I've asked everyone. It's a silly one, and I got it from our from our podcast.
I like
producer.
It.
So, it's fun. So, if you were to be any Disney princess, which Disney princess would you be?
It immediately I was like, oh, Pocahontas for sure.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't. I like it. And she's just like a wild woman, wild and free.
I love it.
And
yeah,
she seems pretty tough too. Like, I think she would want to like lift weights. Probably
is that who Lakin picked?
I think so, but I wouldn't. I don't think Pocahontas would be sending like winky faces. She'd be like, "Eat your vegetables, John Smith."
Yeah, I mean, I like channel my inner Pocahontas when I need to like be stern.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I love it. Well, this was awesome, and I'm really appreciative of you coming on and sharing your journey because. It for sure will help a lot of people, definitely.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah, and I think if you're listening and you're struggling with an eating disorder, know that like we are fully capable of helping you with that. A lot of programs out there are not. Do not work with someone if you have an eating disorder that is not credentialed to do so. That's my big advice. And we are able to do that. So that's a pure like joy. And I know it's a passion of both Jaleesa's and mine. So just make sure that you're seeking the right support if you are out there struggling or you know someone that is struggling with it. Again, we will not be your doctors and we will make sure that you are medically clear and that you have the support system in place, but we can be that support system for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys are loving the podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. That helps us a ton and we would greatly appreciate it. And we will catch you next time. See ya.
Bye.